Hi, I'm Adrian. And right this moment, there are tens of thousands of Black entrepreneurs around the world creating amazing startups that you've never heard about. For some reason, the mainstream media doesn't cover Black entrepreneurs as much as it should. But on this show, we find these amazing founders. We sit down with them. We figure out how they got their ideas launched, what their struggles were, what they're afraid of, what drives them. My hope is that you have enough firepower from listening to this show to go out there and start your own business. Or if you're working on something, continue plowing through it. Let's have an amazing time together. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Ryan, what's up?
Hey, Adrian, how you doing?
Not too bad, man. How's it going?
Good. It's a pleasure to finally be speaking with you.
Oh yeah, for sure. We've definitely been excited to talk to you, actually, just looking at everything you've been doing, especially with the app and just watching your activity online. It's definitely exciting to see, you know, early stage founders find their footing and obviously get their products up and running. It's very exciting to see.
Oh yeah, thank you. I mean, it is definitely early stage. This is the point where you're still making gambles, still testing the products, still trying to confirm product market fit. So yeah, it's early stage, but I mean, it's been 16 months of early stage. So I'm finally glad to reach the point where we're about to launch the product. So it's the time for that test.
So in your case, you know, what is, first of all, I mean, talking about the product right now, you know, what is the product? I think that I've seen a lot of creative product names and app names before, but I think when I say yours, I was like, okay, well, this guy is really like trying to communicate exactly what his product does. So so why don't you go ahead and tell me actually what is this product and what does it do?
Okay, great. Thanks. And I'm glad you appreciate that, because I mean, that's one of the main intentions of the service. It's like, okay, all right. I mean, in terms of this type of service, we don't want people to be asking questions. We want to understand exactly what the product does and how you'd get benefit from the product. So, I mean, word of mouth is a phrase that's been popularized lately. We've all seen the benefits of word of mouth for marketing. So the product is actually based on the idea of word of mouth, which is how do we raise awareness to our products? How do we connect people for specific services? How do we get the word out about good services? And of course, involved in word of mouth. I mean, the key part of that is word, right? I mean, it's your word. I mean, the literal translation for word of mouth in Hebrew is by his word. So it's like your word is actually your bond. And I mean, we trust people. So, I mean, if you are more likely to get services, in many cases we found, I mean, the statistics prove that people are more likely to buy products trusted by their friends or family. So that's the idea. That's the product. We wanted to connect people for the specific purpose of word of mouth referrals. So I have services, I have skill sets, I'm in a particular industry. I have services or skill sets that provide value to the people in my network. So how do we raise awareness to those services, and how do we get people in the habit of referring each other's business? So that's the product. It's a mobile app, a platform for connecting people for the specific service of business referrals. And it takes the form of what we call a social utility network, which is, it's both social networking and utility. Utility being that it's a digital e-card that you can actually use when you don't have your actual business card available. You send your information by text, SMS, MMS, or by social media. It has all your information there. And the purpose for that is that they can create a contact. They can know what you do. So in the case that they need your services, or they have friends that need your specific services, they can make a request or refer your services to the person needing the request. And of course, because it's about networking, it's also a contact management system. So on your word of mouth platform, accounts. You can see all the people who are in your network. You can see what services they provide, what industry they're in, what special skill sets they have, where they're located. And of course, the purpose again is for to make it easier for you to find them or be aware of the services so you can make requests or refer their business.
All right. Okay. So that sounds like that's one hell of an MVP, man. you've got a full social network in there, and you have business referrals, contact management system. Okay, so let's walk back to the start, right? Yes. And I think with startups, a lot of the times you hear people say, you know, you solve problems you have or something you've experienced, and that's kind of where the motivation starts.
Yes.
So for a product like word of mouth, you know, does it have sort of a history of something that, you know, you experienced that you were like, man, I hate business cards. Is that the case? And you're just like, man, I wish there was something else. And is there just another way I can manage my contacts? You know, what drove you to think of this product?
Okay, so I mean, this is actually, I mean, I've told people this story before, but this is the first time it's actually going to go on record. So yes, I mean, you have it correct. I mean, the problems that we're most passionate about sometimes is the problems that we have. And that is what specifically happened in my case, because I mean, and this is a story. I mean, for previous 10 years, I was a regional account executive for a large actuarial firm within the property and casualty insurance industry. And January 2018, I got laid off. So, I mean, it was a lot of changes that were happening within the company at the time. And I was in Miami, so they really didn't have a place for that spot. But I had a large network because I already met a lot of people in the industry and a lot of people in Miami. So a lot of people were, don't worry about it, Ryan. I mean, I told them what happened. They were like, yeah, we know you're a beast. We're going to recommend you to other people. But the challenge that I actually had is because my place within the insurance industry was specific. I mean, a lot of people, you explain to them that you're in sales or you're in insurance. I mean, the natural thought is that you sell insurance, right? So that's right. The problem that I was actually having. People were recommending insurance company as a salesperson. And the problem, the aha moment was actually when I was speaking with one of my friends, and he said, I explained to him, I was like, oh, you know, I just referred to you a contact. And I was like, yay, I mean, thank you. But I mean, those are not the services that I do. I don't sell insurance. We provide consulting and data to insurance companies. That's the field I was in. So like, okay, you know what, let me fix your information in my phone. Let me put, okay, Ryan doesn't sell insurance. He's in sales, but he's not in selling insurance. He provides consulting services and actuarial to insurance companies. And I was like, okay, you know, that's a very efficient way of doing it. And I mean, I was by the pool and I was like, you know what? I mean, I like the way that you enter the information. What if everyone did it that way? And I was like, oh, and that was the aha moment. Cause like, okay, if everyone did it that way, then we would have a standardized process that would make it easier for us to not know only what people do, but how they provide value to the network. And it would make it a lot easier to refer them to other people. So that's where the idea started.
Well, that definitely is a pain point that you experienced yourself.
Yes.
And I think that a lot of times when we experience it, like we have pain points, obviously we all have a lot of problems that we'd like to solve.
Yeah.
We obviously go out there and look for solutions first, right? It's yes. Not, I think I'm an engineer. I tend to think that, hey, I have a problem. Let me just like build something to solve it immediately, because
yes.
That's my knee jerk reaction. Right.
Yes.
But most people would just go, hey, you know what? I'm sure there's something in the app store, right? I'm sure there's something online. I mean, uh-huh. Did you go through that process? And like, you know, what was the process of saying, okay, now I have this problem. Let me go look for something else. And, you know, what was that something else? Did you find anything? Did you try other products that didn't work too well? Because there's a lot of social networks, right? And I'm sure there's a lot of business referral sort of platforms.
Yes.
You know, how does word of mouth kind of separate itself from those other platforms? And, you know, how did you try them out? And, you know, what was the experience there?
Okay. And that's a great question. So, I mean, on the first level, I didn't know of a major network that provided these services because, I mean, I've been in sales for 10 years. I was one of the first users of LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram. I wasn't even on Vine. So, I mean, I always was very active on social networks. I'm a daily poster on Instagram and Facebook. So I wasn't aware of a major service that provided that. So I was like, okay, you know what? There's an opportunity here. Because I mean, a service like this should actually be more popular. It should actually be out there. So I mean, my initial thought at time was, okay, I mean, there's nobody doing it. So I did check online. I didn't find anything obvious that looked like what my idea was. Of course, I mean, I was later to find that that was not the case. But I mean, you talk to a lot of people, I tell them about the idea just to find out. People say, oh, what about Thumbtack or what about LinkedIn? Or I was like, okay, Yelp. I was like, no, it's not specifically those services. I mean, I don't see anything that quite fits the vision that I'm looking at. And I mean, that was up to a point. So this is another part. You talk about the name word of mouth, right? Well, my original name for the product was not word of mouth. It was actually RefereMe. So I went to RefereMe.com. I saw that it was available, but someone owned the domain. So I made a request for the domain, made them an offer for a reasonable amount of money. They were not interested. I was like, okay, one of my friends was like, okay, why don't you check out RefereMe.net? So I was like, okay, I mean, RefereMe.net is a good option as well. So I went to RefereMe.net and I found that RefereMe.net was actually taken by a company that was doing a similar project to what I was thinking of doing. And,
oh, man.
And that was my first discouragement. I was like, okay, you know what? I mean, it's been a week since I've had this idea on my mind. I can't get away from it. I have the time. I have a little bit of cash to do something with. So you know what? I'm so passionate about this problem that I'm going to work with them. So I reached out, and I mean, it took them a while to get back to me. But during that time, I started developing the idea. So they didn't get back to me until a week, 2 weeks later. I'd already reviewed their product, or at least the demo of the product. At the time that they got back to me, I was pretty dissatisfied with the response time because I was like, okay, you know what? I mean, I reached out that I'm interested in investing. I didn't get a response or anything. So you know what? I think I'm going to continue with this. And when I looked at their product, I was like, okay, it's not exactly what I had in mind. There were a lot of things that I would do differently. So I was like, okay, you know what, Ryan, we're going to do this. So I continued. And that's it. I mean, I really continued. I mean, I started developing, started working on the MVP, started bouncing ideas. And the interesting thing about it is that they say, you know, whatever idea that you're working on, there's 100 other people doing the same idea. And that was actually correct. Because I mean, as I went around networking with people, I would explain to them the idea and the MVP. And they were like, oh, there's another guy or another app that's doing something similar. And at first, I mean, I would get like a very panic reaction because I would be concerned that, okay, somebody's already doing this, that's already more funded or further along the path than I am. But I mean, every product that I came across, I was like, yeah, I mean, I see where they're going, but I mean, I wouldn't give it that name. I wouldn't develop it like that. I wouldn't create those features. So I mean, I realized that I was doing something different from what anyone else was doing. So I was like, okay, you know what? I like what I am doing better. So I'm going to continue.
Well, I think that when it comes to products and apps and things like that, the one thing I would say is there's a lot of people on this planet, and there's a lot of different people with different types of problems, right? Yes. You know, even if it's a business referral product, you might find that, you know, their product might work best for X industry and Y industry. So there's always a market for you, right?
Yes.
And that being said, I mean, who is your market? It's a business referral product, but there's a lot of different type of businesses here. So who exactly are you targeting? You know, who's going to use word of mouth? Who's the ideal person? Is it me? Is it founders? Is it, you know, executives on the road? You know, who's the user?
Okay, and that's an interesting question, right? Because I mean, I have to put this out there first before I get into it, before you think I'm naive.
okay, here we go. All right.
No, I mean, there's a popular statement that you create a product for everyone, you're creating a product for no one, right? I mean, you've heard that before.
Oh, yeah, I live by that.
I'm very familiar with that statement. And regardless, I decided I wanted to create a product for everyone because I know, right? Yeah, because that's a part of the problem. It's like, I mean, to really look at it, I mean, and this is part of the problem. I wanted a platform that would connect people, not just people in real estate, not just people in finance, not just people in corporate jobs. I wanted an app that everyone could use. So, I mean, when you really think about it, when you think about the contents of the people that are in your network, there's all types of people in your network, in your phone contacts. There's plumbers, there's electricians, there are musicians, there's guys that have studios. So there's everyone on almost every type of service. So I didn't want to be LinkedIn. I actually wanted to be Instagram. I wanted a product that everyone could use because everyone has specific skill sets that they either need referrals for or would like to request referrals. So that is why we're trying to cast a big net. We wanted to create a profile that's both business and personal that identifies people not by their titles or the industry that they're in. I mean, it is categorized by industry, but that's for classification purposes. That's actually to make it easier for you to find the people in your network and see who the people in your network are. So, I mean, if you're, a popular reference is, I know a guy, right? So if I talk to you, it's like, okay, do you know a guy that's a plumber? He's like, you probably know a guy like that. You probably know an electrician. You probably know a guy that does recordings or a neurosurgeon. So there's all types of people in our network. There's all types of people that provide services, and the best referrals are actually sometimes from people within the industry, but a lot of times you're getting referrals from people who are not in the industry. Because I mean, in many cases, if you're already in real estate, if you're already created a real estate platform, you probably already know a lot of people in real estate. But I mean, you might be looking for someone in mobile development because you have a mobile app idea and you're in real estate and you want someone who has a connection in a mobile app development. There's probably might be someone in your contacts that does mobile development that you don't know about. So it's really about increasing those cross industry referrals. So it's, as I said, it's a big idea. It's a very wide net, but we think that we can do it.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to take it away from you. You sound very confident about this. So looking at some of the screenshots on your website, I can't help but sort of walk myself through how this works, right? So let's say I found out about word of mouth, right? Okay, so, man, this looks interesting. I'm a business guy, right? I want to be on a business app, right? Download it. I sign up. It's going to ask me a bunch of questions, you know, name, occupation, all this other stuff. And then I got my profile. I'm ready to go. What happens next?
Okay, great. So, that's the current version. I think we interpret it a little bit better on the iteration that's coming out on December 6th. Quick pitch out, so you create your profile, whether and you do have two options. You have a business profile or a personal profile. So if you're a business person, by creating a profile and making it public, you already have one distinct value there because you already increased awareness, right? Because I mean, now it's not just that you're on another platform. I mean, you show up in discovery. So anyone who adds you within word of mouth has access to your business information for the purpose of referring you. So your business profile that you have on word of mouth is actually shareable, not just by within the app or across social media. It's also shareable by text. So for example, your profile, Adrian, if I'm looking for someone that does podcasts or mobile development, or I have someone that's looking for podcasts or mobile development, I could actually send them your information and you get a notification that you've been referred. And that's already providing value to both me, you, as well as the person to whom you've been referred.
Gotcha.
They're looking for your services. Gotcha. But in addition to that, it's a social network and contact management. So a lot of the value that you're going to get from word of mouth is actually from importing contacts or inviting contacts into the platform. So on our next version, we have mobile native import. So you can actually start the process of importing out specific contacts that you have within your telephone contacts that you might want to refer or have already referred for business and you want an easy way to do it. So instead of telling a person, okay, I'll send you the contact number for this person, and you have to type that out, you could just refer them through word of mouth. And the benefit to that is that you're going to get all the information available in one click. So you import them into your word of mouth contacts once. It's pretty clear because the format is different from what's available across Android and iOS contact management. You're not just seeing the name or the email address or whatever information you enter. It's standardized according to a business card process, and there's even a profile attached to that. So they're going to see Adrian, mobile development, podcast, business person, entrepreneur. They're going to see the specific services. And the benefit to that is it's easy for me to find you within my contacts, or for the person who you've been referred to know what you do. And it also increases awareness because, I mean, every time I look under tech industry or entrepreneurs or my our entrepreneurs in Fort Lauderdale or mobile development or tech, you're going to come up along among my contacts. So it's a different way of handling contacts that's not possible with LinkedIn, Instagram, or Facebook. So in addition to that, there's also the referral option. So you're looking for a referral, or you're looking for referral contacts, or you want to increase the amount of people in your network that you want to refer. You can do that through adding people through the discovery section, which is also the business. I mean, there might be contacts in there that you're already familiar with, but you can also create an entrepreneurial group. So say, for example, you're a member of, and there's so many popular entrepreneurial groups, like Gritly, for example, your network. I mean, what if everyone within Gritly wanted to have access to not just the title or the company that the people are with, but they want to have access to their skill sets. And the purpose, of course, is to keep it within the community of referring and referring each other's business. So, I mean, I can pull up the directory. I could create a directory or group profile by the name of the people who are on the social network. And I can look through the directory and see what everybody does, what skill sets they have. And if I need to make a request, and I want to keep the requests or referrals within the group, I could only send a request out to that group, and they would be able to refer someone in the group. And that's provided that there's someone in the group that is, provided that there's someone already not someone in the group that has those specific services. But I mean, it's adding value to them by being able to refer someone in their network, because you're not just getting a blind referral. You're getting a referral from someone in your group, and who knows what benefit that might have for them, because they can refer their friends, and they might refer your business as well. So it actually builds the network. So the group option is one of the benefits that we believe that people will be able to get from the service. And the business card, of course, I mean, there are already a lot of significant business card apps out there. But I mean, the benefit to the word of mouth business card is that, I mean, it's not organized according to LinkedIn format or regular contact management contact. Because I mean, if you really think about it, the information that you get on a business card in many cases is not useful. I mean, think about how many times you've gotten a business card from a person and you still have no idea what they do. Like, okay, you're an account executive. What does that mean?
Oh, you put- I have a stack of them here. I was at Expo. I spoke at an Expo yesterday, and I was just collecting cards like cookies. Yeah. And I get home now, and what I normally do is I say, okay, well, time to you know, get these contacts into some sort of manageable digital format. Yeah. Right. So, which involves, you know, saving the contact. Mm-hmm. And then the first thing that comes to mind is like, who is this person again? Right. Because a lot of people don't have photos on their business cards.
Yes.
So then it becomes a game of, okay, next step, let me go on to LinkedIn. I'm quite active on LinkedIn. So mm-hmm. let me go on to LinkedIn. Ryan White. Oh, God damn, there's four of them. Right. So which one is it? Like, which Ryan White is it, right? With the okay. real Ryan White, please stand up.
Yeah.
So I definitely do understand exactly where you're going with this. I know that yesterday as well, a lot of people ran out of business cards and, oh, I don't have a business card. And I'm like, yeah, you can just give me a phone number. Yeah. And I find myself doing the same thing. It's like saving the person's name, saving their contact, and putting a note down. Okay, this person does this business. Okay. They're from this city. Blah, blah, blah. So I see the vision there, right? How big can this thing get, right? Are you a bootstrapper? You know, did you save up money to get started? It sounds like you did.
Yeah.
Are you looking for investment? You know, what's the big vision of word of mouth, and how big do you think it can get? How big do you want it to get, right?
Okay, so and that's the point. I mean, so how big can it get? So you remember at the start when we said we wanted to create a platform for everyone, right? So I literally mean everyone. I mean anyone who gets business through referrals, anyone who uses business cards, anyone that uses contact management, anyone that could get benefit from referrals, anyone that likes to refer a business, anyone who trusts referrals from businesses that their friends do business with. So that's really the big vision. So, I mean, if you look at the our mission is actually to be the standard process for business referrals. And
oh, man.
The standard process, yes. So, I mean, if you really think about it, contact management is broken. I mean, LinkedIn is almost the standard. I mean, LinkedIn is what a lot of people use. But I mean, there's a lot of people that are not captured in LinkedIn. There's the professional trainers. There's the holistic people. There's artisan services, tradesmen. They're not captured on LinkedIn. So what you have are silos. You have Yelp. You have Angie's List. You have LinkedIn, you have Facebook, and not to mention the Instagram crowd, right? So we want to bring everyone together. It was like, okay, so the Instagram model who does promotions is on word of mouth. The professional that does insurance is on word of mouth. The musician, the plumber, the shoe manufacturer, the shoe fixer is on word of mouth. We want everyone to have word of mouth as their standard contact management system, because I mean, it fixes the issue of titles and for classification, because I mean, you have a contact management that's really relevant to people because you have purpose. So it's like, okay, we don't just see Ryan White is an account executive or Adrian is an entrepreneur or CEO of some company. We see the specific services that you do. And by understanding that, we know what value we provide to your network. We know what industry you're in. We know the type of skill sets that you're most likely to know about, not just for understanding your business or what you do, but for the purpose of referring you to other people or requesting referral. So our big vision is to connect everyone for referrals.
So one of the things that I think social networks are very good for is that there's the credibility factor, yes. Right? When you look at LinkedIn, mm-hmm. I can do a whole podcast on what's great about LinkedIn.
Yes.
I can do 5 podcasts on what's broken on LinkedIn, right? Yes. But one thing for sure is that it gives you a credibility network where you can see someone's history. You can see who they're connected with. You can see, you know, what they like, what they comment on. You know, do they publish articles? You can see if they're a thought leader in this vertical. Mm-hmm. Other social networks, same thing, you know. Instagram, you've got like verification. Mm-hmm. How does someone get verified on word of mouth, right? How do I know, for example, if this isn't someone that I know, right, personally, and somehow we met on the word of mouth platform, I'm like, hey, this guy does, you know, or this lady does this, right?
Okay.
Or they do this. I would like to refer that person, but how do I know that they're credible?
Okay, so that's a good point. So let's start off. You're not gonna really meet anyone on word of mouth. I mean, so that's how it's different from a regular social network. I mean, and if you really think about it, originally, I did know a large percentage of the people on my LinkedIn. That's not really the case now. I mean, especially since I changed my title to CEO.
Is it like a magical thing that happens when you do that?
Oh, yeah. You start getting blasted with requests and people who want to help you grow your business and provide you leads. And you're like, okay, I mean, maybe this is like Instagram. Maybe if I continue increasing the amount of people I'm connected to, I'm getting more value. But it's actually the opposite that happens. So I'm actually getting a lot less value now because, I mean, 90% of the people on my LinkedIn now are people trying to sell me stuff. So that's one of the things I'm going to clarify. I mean, in many cases, if you look at the format now, and I mean, this is the early stages at the format, but we're not really creating a format that's going to create a lot of activity within the app, because that's where the utility comes in. It's like, instead of being about networking inside the app, it's actually about networking in real life. So most of the contacts that you have on word of mouth, we're going to expect to be contacts that are already in your phone or people who you're connecting with. I mean, there's a discovery option in there, but the only people within Discovery Option are the people who decide to make their profiles available, and they want it to be available. And I mean, in such a case, if you're looking for a person that you're not familiar with, I mean, word of mouth is not the best format to do that right now. I mean, it might be at some point, but it isn't now, because I mean, there's not a lot of data that we're going to be able to capture on a person signing up for an account. It's like, I mean, we've seen that with BumbleBiz, which is a big company. I mean, it's verified, but I mean, a lot of the people that you get there as well are people who just signed up with an account. But I mean, the purpose of word of mouth is actually about referrals. So in most cases, if you're making a request on word of mouth, you're not looking for a random person. You're not looking for a random plumber. You're looking for a plumber that someone in your contact uses. So the onus in most cases initially is going to be on the person making the referral. But I mean, we already understand that there may be cases where you want to refer a person because you have their contact. I was like, okay, or maybe it's a specific type of services that not everyone does. Like, for example, you're looking for someone that can put the belt on the bottom of a bucket, or I mean, that's a bad example, but you get the idea that I'm saying. It's a specific.
I'm sure that's a niche somewhere, right?
Exactly. So I mean, there's only one person in all of Fort Lauderdale that does that, or only two.
That can put a belt at the bottom of a bucket. Yeah, yep, exactly. I'm sure of that.
Yes.
Pretty sure about that one.
Yeah. So it's like, I mean, I know a guy who does put on the bottom of a bucket, but I've never used his services. So Adrian asks, okay, does anyone know a guy who puts the belt on the bottom of a bucket? And I was like, yes, I do have a guy, but I mean, we have a system ingrained, and it's really simple. It's a 1-star, 2-star. So 1-star means I know this person, I've never done business with them. And I mean, it's still not a full validation of the person, but it's better than a blind referral, right? Because you're saying, okay, all right, I know this guy. I mean, I've never had the bottom of my bucket fall out, but if he gave me his card in the case I ever knew anyone who did. Do you want his information? He's like, sure. And then there's also the 2-stars where you select that. We say, okay, not only do I know a guy who fixes the belt at the bottom of a bucket, but I've also used his services, and that's why I'm referring him. So that's the difference. I mean, it's so the validation will come later. I mean, as soon as we have more people using it, and you have the opposite as well. You have people abusing it. But I mean, if you're looking for a blind service in the initial stages, word of mouth wouldn't be the best. But if you're looking for a referral from someone you trust, and you're hoping to get a referral from someone in your network, that's where we come in.
So it sounds very ambitious. It sounds very big. I personally like it because it's a pain point that I have. So I'll definitely be using it. I downloaded it. I'm going to use it.
Thank you.
And I'm going to refer people using word of mouth.
Yes.
But just to backtrack a little bit away from like the workings of the app itself. Mm-hmm. Now, once you had the idea, you did all this initial research, and you're like, oh man, I don't like the stuff that's out there. I'm going to build my own platform.
Yeah.
You know, but you're not a technical founder, right?
Yes.
You don't have a background in, you know, programming or app development.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for someone out there who's pretty much at that point right now, they go, okay, I've got this new idea of how to create, you know, a belt buckling at the bottom of a bucket piece of equipment, right? And there's no one else out there that's doing it, right? And what's the next step? You know, what was your next step after that, right? So your background isn't in app development. At this point, I'm assuming that you have no idea, right, about the industry. You know, what was the next move?
Okay, yes. I mean, there was a lot of learning involved. I mean, there was a lot of learning involved in that process. And I mean, there's a lot of things I would do differently. On the first stage, like, I mean, I didn't build the MVP. So this is actually a rendition of our second MVP. We had to start over. And I mean, it's the experience I've found with a lot of non-tech developers as well, is that in many cases, the developer you start off with is not the one that you end up with, right? So I started off with some guys in San Francisco because I was like, okay, you know, this is a big idea. I want to reach a lot of people. I need a team that's well known. So, I mean, my first developers, I mean, they were using a basic web version, which was a web responsive app. But the founder of the company, he had a Stanford and an MIT background. So I was like, okay, awesome. I mean, this is the type of guy I want building my app. But of course, it was very expensive. So I realized, okay, you know what? At this rate, I was a couple thousand dollars in and it was a web app and I wasn't going to be able to finish. So I was like, okay, you know what? Maybe at the stage we're at right now, I really would have done better with an MVP from Sketch because, I mean, all I really needed was to build out the process and how it works and how we could use it. So luckily, while I was already a couple thousand dollars in and I was concerned that I wouldn't be able to finish, I actually went out to San Francisco and I met with someone who had who was a non-technical founder as well, who had built a successful company. And he was like, you know what, Ryan, maybe you could outsource. If you outsource, my guys are in Mexico, maybe if you use them, you'd be able to build the app a lot cheaper. So, I mean, I'm not endorsing outsourcing for tech development, but if you have a limited budget and you have no technical experience, in many cases, you might find it and it depends on the team that you're working with, but you might find it to be cheaper to work, start off at least with outsource.
So I think that outsourcing is definitely an option if you have the money to do that. Mm-hmm. But one thing's for sure, when you look at, if you're looking to raise money, mm-hmm. venture capital, it's a trend that they really don't like investing in, right? Because it's quite uncertain, right? Mm-hmm. Your app is going to probably need to change multiple times, right? The idea that you start off with, mm-hmm. And what you actually end off with is like very, very different. And I think that you're going to have to iterate multiple times, right? This thing is going to change frequently.
Yes.
You know, in your case, right, in the event that there's no venture capital, right? And you have to completely bootstrap this thing to success. How do you make money off this?
So, I mean, that's a great point, actually. So, I mean, okay, in terms of, you know, making money or a venture capital.
Don't give us the secret sauce, but, you know, how does it work?
No, we'll go into the details. So, I mean, there's no money involved right now. I mean, there's no money involved. I'm not making money. I mean, I've developed this all on faith that we're going to create something big. So I started off with that too. I mean, seeking out venture capital funds. And of course, you already understand in terms of developing a product, the venture capitalists, boot camps, accelerators, they all prefer a team with a technical co-founder. So I started off doing that. I really did make an honest attempt to find a technical co-founder. But
the holy grail.
Yes, but I mean, you already know how difficult that is. I mean, in most cases, they've already been burned by other startups. They have families. You need to make money. I mean, you're in a similar situation yourself. I'm sure people have offered you and say, okay, I mean, equity sounds attractive, but I need to pay bills.
Definitely can't eat that equity right now.
So I mean, in my case, I'm determined. And I mean, that's always been the type of person that I am. I mean, I came here as an immigrant 12 years ago, and I laid out my vision of the type of life I wanted to have, and I was actually relatively successful in doing that. So it was the same thing here. I was like, okay, you know what, Ryan, you have this vision for this product. It's going to create value. I mean, I've found so many people that love the idea, that love what I'm doing, that see the benefit. That was like, okay, nobody else is doing this, and if anybody else is doing it, they're not doing it the best. I mean, we looked at other options. We say, okay, nobody's doing it like we felt that it needs to be done. So we're going to do this. So that's the point. It's a leap of faith. I was like, okay, I'm going to create a product that people are going to see value in and they're going to use. And once we provide value and prove that our product provides value, then the money will come in. So I've actually received interest from investors, not sophisticated investors in most cases, but some are sophisticated investors who have expressed interest in it because they see the opportunity and they see where we're passionate about providing value in the service. So that's really where it's at. I mean, the pricing or the services or how it's going to make money is going to be dependent on how people are receiving value from the services. So there's a lot of opportunity for that. I mean, say, for example, the freemium model where, I mean, you have a large amount of people, most users who are on the platform for free, and then you have power users who are getting increased value. A simple example is, for example, you're a business that already provides referrals, already requests referrals, but you don't have a platform and you don't have an app or maybe you do have an app and for referrals, but nobody is going to log on to your specific app to do the referral or request the referral or get rewarded for referral, right? And in addition to that, a lot of times that we do referrals, it's not about the money. Because I mean, I know for you example, I mean, you've probably had a lot of situations where you've referred services that offer cash or rewards for referrals, but you didn't redeem that. So we're going to actually create an opportunity for those companies to offer referrals within our app so they can see the people who are referring their businesses. If they want to incentivize people for referring their businesses, they can do that through the app. Or maybe they want to look at the analytics. They want to see the attribution related to a campaign. Or my background is actually in data analytics for insurance companies. So, I mean, when you're building a platform, I mean, the idea is to create something that is unique, that's not only going to provide value to the users, but in the data that's being collected. So there really isn't an app on the scale that we intend for word of mouth that captures referral data. And referral data is actually the most important right now, because I mean, everywhere you go, you're probably going to hear this come up a lot. Word of mouth, referrals, we get our business through referrals. It's like, okay, do you have a process for referrals? It's like, no, we don't. So it's like, okay, we're going to create a platform that creates a process for you to track and see your referrals, because it's all about attribution.
So right now you are a solo founder, right?
Yes.
So at this point, you know, I normally joke around with this one, you know, yeah. your sales, your marketing, your PR, your product, yeah. your founder, CEO, mm-hmm. and you know, you all of those things.
Yeah.
You know, what sort of process do you go through to manage your time? Right. I think time management is one of the key things when you're building a startup or you're doing anything in life, period.
Oh, yeah.
So how are you going about that? I know you're in Miami. It's also a big tech scene going on there.
Yeah.
So how are you able to actually leverage the fact that you're in that big environment and manage your time as well to do something like this?
OK, great. So, I mean, the good part about it is that I'm not a developer. So that gives me a lot of opportunity. I mean, most of the development is happening in Mexico where the developers are. So, I mean, that takes care of the heavy lifting. So what my responsibilities are, as I see them for the vision, is, I mean, developing the brand, developing what we intend the company culture to be. And I mean, that I've read so much. And I mean, I think that's where most of the value comes in. Because I mean, okay, I was like, I already see this being big, right? And that's the vision, it's self-actualization. I already see the success. So what do I do to prepare myself for that success? Okay, I need to be better understanding of brand building. I need to be better have a better understanding of product development. I need to better understand how to network and how people network and how I see people getting value from the services. So that's where a lot of my time gets spent. It's reading, creating productive habits, advancing the agenda in whatever way possible, whether it's going out to networking events, doing pitch startups, doing presentations at boot camps, whatever is possible. So, I mean, my schedule is pretty flexible in a sense, but it's all about being productive. Like, okay, I don't want to be busy. I want to be productive. So what am I doing today that's going to advance the agenda of word of mouth and make it more accessible for people? And so that's what I do every day. And that's what I've been doing for the past year and a half. So for me, it's not about assigning time. It's about being productive. So there are some days when I feel like I get nothing done, but I do something big, like I come up with an idea for a new feature. I test it out. I get reviews and people love it. So it's a very flexible schedule, but I've always been that type of person. I mean, I've always been, okay, we have a new day. I don't want to be busy. I want to be productive. I have 10 things that I need to get done. How am I going to do that?
So I think that a lot of founders had some sort of an entrepreneurial past, right? Mm-hmm. And sort of the leap into, you know, doing a startup, yeah, is, in my opinion, one of the extreme ways to get into entrepreneurship, right? Yeah. Because it's highly uncertain. Mm-hmm. You know, 90% of people fail. Mm-hmm. And less than 1% of Black founders raise money.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, I met a guy yesterday, mm-hmm, who makes about $5,000 hauling junk. Mm-hmm. You know, he bought himself like an old pickup truck. F-150 truck, and he just goes to sites and he parks it there and says, "Hey, I can go throw away your crap for you."
Yeah,
right. And he makes $5,000 a month, right? I have a lot of founder friends. I mean, a lot of founder friends.
Yeah.
And I actually don't know a lot of people making $5,000 a month. And they're building these fancy platforms, you know, take over the world type of thing. You know, so why do it? You know, why do this? I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of other things that you could have done. You know, why do a startup?
Yeah, so that's the cool part, right? It's many things.
And make no money. Yeah. And make no money for now.
Yeah, that's
right. It's like that's the part that confuses me. Like, why do you want to do this, man? Like, you know, it takes forever to make anything. You know, the guy who's hauling dirt, he's $60,000 in already for the past year that you've been building this product.
Yeah.
You know, why do you want to do this? And why would you advise anyone to get into this?
Okay. So that's a great story as well. I hope I have time to tell it. So, I mean, so I used to say when I started off, and at the point I had a little cash put away, right? I had a good amount of cash put away because I was actually planning to buy a house, right?
Oh man, use the house money. Oh God. If you're listening, don't use the house money on the MVP. Just don't do that.
No, buy the house. I did. I mean, not the MVP itself, but I mean, just staying alive. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah. So this was the concept, right? I mean, to be honest, I mean, there's a lot of ways to make money. And I've never really had a problem making money. I mean, I was in sales. I was in sales for 10 years. I was very successful at it. I mean, I was making a lot more than $5,000 a month, if you want to put it that way. So, that was the thing. It's like, I mean, I look back because I reached a point in my career and I didn't realize it until I got laid off. I mean, I was no longer passionate about what I was doing. I wasn't excited about it. It wasn't a thrill. It wasn't a challenge. I was actually doing other things just to have a challenge. Because, I mean, even in sales, the type of sales that I did, I got to a certain point where I had already figured out the system. So I was like, okay, and if I do this and do that, I'd be able to make this amount of money, right? So sales was becoming a lot less exciting to do. So I wasn't really passionate about it. And I mean, when I came across this idea, it's like my eyes lit up. I was excited. I woke up every day excited about doing this. And I mean, that hasn't changed. I mean, there's been days when I feel a lot less excited. There's days I was like, okay, I need to go back to a regular job. I need to, be doing this. I need to be making money. But the experience, I mean, looking back at my past, and as I told you, I post a lot on social media, and I looked at a lot of my posts from social media from years back, and they always talked about entrepreneurship. They always talk about, okay, it's better to start a business than work for someone else. It's better to build your own dream than work on someone else's. And I went the other path. I mean, not just in entrepreneurship. I went the other path in making money. So, I mean, even in terms of making money, if it was about making money, if I was just going to be an entrepreneur for the purpose of making money, then it would be different as to the type of job that I would do. I mean, maybe I wouldn't be hauling junk. Maybe I would. Maybe I would be able to do that and make the same amount that I was making. And maybe I would get a lot more fulfillment for that. But I mean, being the type of person who I am, who I introduced is a big idea person. I knew that whatever I was going to do as an entrepreneur, it was going to be a big idea. So word of mouth was exactly what I was looking for. It was exactly the type of challenge that I felt, okay, if I made this work, not only would I be able to say, Ryan, you did a good job, you challenged yourself. And you've heard it before, right? I mean, if your dreams don't make you scared, then it's not big enough.
Right. No, I've definitely heard that before. And I think that when I talk to a lot of other founders, I get the sense that, you know, it's more of the challenge than it is anything else. It's like, hey, man, you know, I've got this idea. Mm-hmm. I believe in myself.
Yes.
You know, I'm going to go out and do it. Right. It's very much and to a certain extent, I do think that it's driven slightly by ego as well, because people are like, you know what, I can do this, you know.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I like to bring up when I talk to founders on this podcast. And honestly, I don't really like calling it a podcast, right? Because it's more of a fly on the wall experience for the listener, saying, you know, just a couple of founders talking about, you know, what they're doing, right? Yes. I prefer to refer to it that way. Mm-hmm. But one of the key things that I like to touch on is the fact that you don't have to be a computer science graduate from, you know, a top school to develop a product that's going to be big.
Yes.
Right. You know, if you look at your history, you actually have a bachelor in arts, right? A bachelor of arts.
Yeah.
And you've worked in sales. You became an account executive, and now you're building a tech startup.
Yes.
And that journey itself is obviously something that's not very publicized because we don't hear about that, right? Yeah. So, but it's important to understand that there is a process to get to that point where you can almost like do anything that you want to, right? Mm-hmm. I think that we're moving past the traditional university system now that, you know, you can achieve anything. Information is all out there. It's not about really just figuring out what to spend your time on. Mm-hmm. But one thing that I kind of like have picked up from, you know, your posts and, you know, the way you carry yourself is that you read a lot, right? You consume a lot of books. Mm-hmm. And what sort of mindset shift did you have to make throughout this whole process? Or was it something that was always intrinsic in you where, you know, it was always there? Because it's definitely not easy to move from all these different fields.
Oh, no.
But, you know, what carries you through that? You know, is it just raw ego? And like, I can do it. Let me go for it.
Okay.
Or is there a methodical step in which you think about things and you approach it?
Okay, so that's a good point, right? I mean, so you talk about ego. I mean, one of the processes I had to do, I mean, the biggest change that I've done throughout this time period is actually trying to reduce my ego or remove my ego as much as possible. I mean, because a lot of times we think about ego, we think about drive, we think about pride. My realization that I came to is that it's not about that. It's about removing your ego. And that by removing your ego, you achieve a point of stoicity where you are able to see what's coming. So, I mean, for example, it's like the first thing I start my day with is, okay, Ryan, you're a rational human being. And that's it. So you're a rational human being. You understand the risk that you're taking here is the risk worth the reward. And it's yes. It's like, okay, continue. And that's it. So every day that I wake up with that mentality, okay, it's a risk. I know what the possibilities are. I might lose everything. But I mean, it's not about what I'm doing. It's not about the risk. It's about the reward. And it's about the opportunity. It's about the chance to create something different. And a lot of people think that you're doing that. So, I mean, at some point, ego doesn't come involved because, I've been talking about word of mouth for a year now. So everybody, I mean, the awareness is already out there. Everybody knows what I'm working on. If I were to go on LinkedIn and say, okay, I'm going to change my profile now to employee of X and X insurance, it would be
What happened? All we knew it was going to fail anyway. We just didn't want to tell you, man. I'm sorry.
That hasn't happened yet. It hasn't happened until it does happen. If it does happen, I mean, what I have learned throughout this process would be worth it. It's like an MBA in itself. And the journey itself, I mean, the journey, enjoying the journey. I mean, these were things that I always saw. I mean, we all watch the Gary V's and the Damons and the 10X guy. We all watch that and Tony Robbins, we all watch that stuff and hear them talk about it. But I mean, until you have that experience, until you actually go through it, you don't understand what it means. So a lot of it is about that. It's not just about the ego. It's about, you know, testing your limits, challenging yourself, developing good habits, because you do realize you have to elevate yourself. I mean, you have to elevate yourself to get to that point where you're able to accomplish your dreams. So that's one of the reasons why I read. I mean, when I was working in corporate, I didn't have the time to read, and I didn't really care about reading that much. I mean, I would be reading articles that was related to what my work was, but I mean, a lot of those articles weren't things that interested me. So it's like, now I actually have the opportunity to read books that are more about self-development. And you do realize from reading about self-development. Most of the books about self-development are not about developing yourself within a corporate background. It's about developing yourself outside of that, becoming an entrepreneur, creating products, exploring your creativity. And I'm actually on a path now that motivates me to do that. So, I mean, the Ryan that left my company 2 years ago is not the Ryan that we're talking to right now.
To be honest with you, I would say that if you're a founder, right, or you're an entrepreneur and you're building some product or service, that's extremely hard because it's something new.
Yeah.
Right. I think when you talk about startups, it's kind of synonymous with, okay, something new that, you know, we haven't done before.
Yes.
And I think that it'd be very difficult to go back to having a full-time job. Personally, oh, yeah. I think that once you've crossed those waters, it's like no going back for sure. And I think that I think one reason to potentially follow this path is that it's going to test every bone in your body. Right? Oh, yeah. It's going to test everything, your limitations. And in my humble opinion, it's a very, very humbling experience because you get lost in your jobs, you get lost in the corporate world, you get lost in whatever you're doing, and you think that, hey, I'm an expert in this. And then you step out into this field and you realize, man, I don't even know what brand management is. Like, what is that? You almost have to put yourself back in the learner's seat.
Yeah.
One thing for sure about startups is they're very stressful, right? You know, very stressful. You definitely go through a wide range of emotions. How do you stay level-headed through all this?
Okay, great. So I actually literally have a shirt that says bad habits, right? Because, yes, because I mean, when you're in corporate, I mean, when I was at least, I mean, I developed a lot of bad habits. I mean, at one point I used to smoke. I mean, you know, those after work parties were always awesome. Happy hour drinks.
I was not exercising much.
And I mean, you're busy, right? I mean, you wake up in the morning, you got to grab the coffee, you got to get caffeinated, you have to get a breakfast that you like, because I mean, who knows? I mean, work might suck. At least if my breakfast doesn't, I'll have a good day. So I mean, I had all these bad habits. But once you get into the entrepreneurial field, it was okay, you know what? It was like, I mean, a lot of these bad habits that helped me get through my previous employment is not going to cut here, because I mean, I need to be at top energy. I need to be ready for anything. I need to have energy to last through the day. So what I started doing was eliminating those bad habits and replacing them with good ones. So instead of having a smoke, I would exercise. Instead of having a drink, I would eat healthy, a lot of it was about that. And I mean, and it makes sense, because if you really think about it, I mean, the better the shape your body is in, the better you're able to handle stress. And I mean, the stress was one of the reasons why, because I mean, there were days, especially in the early period, where you develop that entrepreneurial anxiety, which is what I didn't know about. So I mean, I actually felt like, you know, okay, you know, my body is under pressure. I mean, I could actually literally feel the tenseness sometimes. And how do I do that? So I was like, okay, you know, if you develop a healthier habit, you exercise, you release the toxins, you do all this stuff, then you'd be more level-headed. And most recently, I started meditating, and I found that really cleared up a lot of the anxiety. So, I mean, it's really been about that. It's about exercise, reading, being relaxed, making sure I get enough rest, mostly developing good habits.
So the meditation is definitely a big one. I think that's something that once I found out about, you know, the benefits of meditation, I actually went out there and actually tried it. It definitely helped me clear out a lot of anxiety that I was dealing with regards to doing something that, you know, is remotely difficult and is very uncertain at the same time. So I think that when you look back right now, you know, you're about a year and 8 months into this product. You don't necessarily have a full team around you yet. You know, you're still working through the rough edges right now, trying to figure out, you know, product market fit, you know, the holy grail of product market fit and the ultimate CTO, co-founder / you know, product developer person. You know, what can you tell someone right now that is just starting out? You know, someone listens to this podcast or this fly on the wall experience, and they say, you know what, I have this idea that I've been sitting on for a little bit. You know, I think I'm going to go ahead and do it right now. You know, what are the top three things that you would tell them, you know, to look out for? And, you know, what would you say to them? What would you get them to do, right, if you can go back?
Okay, so let's start. I mean, the truth about it, I mean, a lot of things, you really don't realize the problem until you experience it. I mean, so I'll start with this one. And I hope whoever hears it takes it a lot more seriously than I did. Because, I mean, the first thing I did, actually, which was a good idea, is as soon as I had this idea, I had a friend in Fort Lauderdale who was in the insurance field, but he had his own startup that was related to tech. So he built a successful company, and he was the only other person that I knew that had built a successful multi-million dollar company. So I was like, okay, you know what, let me go talk to Jim and get his advice. So he's after going through everything, the idea, and he confirmed that I was passionate about it. It was like, Ryan, I'm going to tell you, go do it. But here are three things. I mean, first, it's going to be three times as expensive as you think it's going to be. It's going to take three times as long, and it's going to be three times as hard. And he was right on all three. So when I started off, I mean, the response I was getting on the idea and what we're doing, I thought I would have been a venture-backed millionaire by now, right? Okay. working with development teams. It started off that the development team that I started working with. So it's like, I mean, we learned from the process, but I mean, about 6 to 8 months of that, 16 months, was actually working on a product that we had to scrap. All right. So in addition to that, I mean, the challenges, I mean, the first challenge, I mean, challenge after challenge, you get excited. I mean, you get meetings with VCs or impossible investors. You get an idea for the product that doesn't work out. I mean, there's all of these things that you get excited about that doesn't pan out. So you have to have a certain level of resilience to say, okay, all right, this didn't work out. Am I a rational human being? Am I still passionate about this? If this doesn't work out, will I still be happy that I went through the process? If yes, continue. One foot in front of the other. And the other is, I mean, as I said, in terms of the first three, the biggest one is related to cost. So, I mean, the last thing, I mean, it's a popular statement. It's like, okay, the one thing that brings you to reality real fast is running out of money. So no matter how big you think the idea is, no matter how successful you think it's going to be or in what time frame, you don't want to run out of money. So you need to be as resourceful and thrifty in your spending as possible, because I mean, if you run out of money, it's game over.
that's it, man. You're done. So I would say that I definitely agree with you with regards to the time that it takes, and I think that that's where it's important to definitely plan out being a founder, plan out, you know, this process. I think that it's definitely a fruitful journey. But it's gonna require much more than just, you know, just passion and vision, right? There is a method to it, and I would definitely say that I feel like everybody should, if you have an idea, you know, it's there's no better time to pursue it right now than right now, because there's all the tools out there, you have, you know, all the information is out there. You should go ahead and do it if you have that plan or that idea. Mm-hmm. But Ryan, look, I think that I'm personally excited to see where word of mouth goes. I actually love the name. I see this, you know, you're a very driven guy yourself. And, you know, I'll definitely enjoy watching word of mouth grow and just see how big and how far you can take this. So for anyone out there who wants to reach out to you, you know, how can they get in touch with you? And for anyone who wants to, you know, use the app, you know, how do they find it?
Okay, great. So, I mean, it's in the App Store already. We launched our MVP in March. So it's actually available for you to download. It's word of mouth. It's spelled differently, WERDAMOUTH. And if you actually download the app, my profile is actually public available. So you can add me as a contact there. But if you want to email me, it's info@wordofmouth.com or ryanwhite@wordofmouth.com.
Amazing. Well, like I said, man, I'm really looking forward to seeing how you grow as a person, as a founder, as an entrepreneur, and, you know, see where the platform goes, and we can go out there and, you know, just show the rest of the world that, you know, Black founders are made of something.
Oh yeah, thank you, thank you. And I mean, and remember, we're coming out with a new update December 6th, so I think you're going to be excited about a lot of the features and the improvements on the app.
Hey man, I'll be waiting. You know, I love to tinker with this stuff. So, you know, once you're live, just let me know and I'll be up on there.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ryan. Thank you very much.